Hey there, SLP. You are listening to this podcast, so I know that you love to listen to podcasts. And if that is the case, then I know that you are going to love my secret private podcast, Secondary Secrets for SLPs. Its 6 short episodes will have you walking away feeling refreshed and inspired and ready to take on those challenging secondary speech students. So if you work with grades 4 through 12, and are in a planning rut or wanting some fresh new ideas to keep your students motivated, make sure you head to speechtimefun.com/secondary-secrets. You are not going to find this podcast in your iTunes podcast search browser. You can only get access by going to that link. So head to it now. It is 6 short episodes that you can listen to it in under an hour, like totally Netflix binge-worthy. I made this just for you, and I know you are going to love it. SLPs have been telling me already that it has changed their way for working with their older speech students. So head on over, again, to speechtimefun.com/secondary-secrets or use the link in the show notes, and I can't wait to hear what you think. Now let's head on to this week's episode of SLP Coffee Talk. Welcome to another episode of SLP Coffee Talk. I am so excited to have today's guest on the show. Today's guest is Chris Weniger, also known as The Speech Dude. You might know Chris as the DJ from SLP Coachella, or I met Chris. He was the DJ at the Fire and Ice meetup at ASHA 2019 in Orlando. And Chris shares awesome ideas on his Instagram and website all about motivating older speech students using technology and things they're motivated by, and I knew I had to have him on the show. Chris is an enthusiastic school SLP and nationally acclaimed presenter who loves to share his knowledge about technology and practical ways to infuse it into the SLP practice for middle and high school students. He is the author of Speech Language Technologists, What's New in Technology to Save Time and Accelerate Therapy Outcomes, an intensive resource handbook. In addition, Chris recently collaborated with SLP Toolkit to release a part 2 series of the wildly popular SLP Telecon with a webinar focused on sharing effective and engaging tech tools for older speech students with social and emotional learning needs. Without wasting any more time, let's get on to today's episode. You are listening to SLP Coffee Talk. I am your host, Hallie Sherman, and I am a licensed speech-language pathologist who is in the trenches working full-time in a public school in New York. I'm the author of the blog and Teachers Pay Teachers store, Speech Time Fun, where I love helping other SLPs conquer the overwhelm and get back hours spent on prepping activities. I am here to help you be the best SLP you can be and have fun while doing it. Just like your morning cup of coffee, this podcast is just what you need to start the day or week. Let's jump into today's Coffee Talk. So here we have it. I have Chris from Speech Dude on the podcast. I am so excited. How are you, Chris?
I am doing fantastic, other than melting out here in this 106-degree California weather.
From someone in New York who's melting in like a 65-degree day, I don't want to say how dare you, but I'll take it. the fact that it's sunny out and I was able to actually see the sun versus being in my therapy closet and have no windows. It's been a little bit of a change of location. So tell a little bit more about you, how you got started in this whole speech techie blogging world. Tell a little bit about your backstory.
Okay, yeah, absolutely. Gosh, I'm going to go back to high school. There was a program that was a pilot program for our juniors and seniors, and it was called Career Connection. It was all about technology. And I graduated in 96. So this was in 95, 96, when the internet was just kind of making its way into the scene. So for my junior and senior year, I started learning how to code and develop websites just right off the bat. Right out of high school, I started to build websites. I played music. I have a pretty solid background in web design and with creating graphics through CorelDRAW back then. And then I got into the Adobe stuff years later. But after that, I had to figure out what I wanted to do since the band wasn't making it big. I had dreamed of being a rock and roll star. and that didn't pan out. So I became a teacher, which led into speech pathology. And then here we are, all of those years of using technology from my prior experience and merging it all together with speech is how I landed where I'm at now. So it kind of all fused together. So I was fortunate on that end.
That's awesome. That's really awesome. And how did you find yourself working with the older students?
You know, it's interesting because when I had first got out of grad school, the place that was hiring was an all high school district. So I currently still work for that district. I transitioned out of teaching and into speech, but stayed with, you know, working with adolescents. So my entire career and experience has solely been working for high school, other than, you know, our externship. And I do some supervision work. I'm at a private practice for the younger ones. But yeah, my day in, day out, you know, it's been working with our 13 to 22 year old population and just kind of what we all talk about. I hear on your previous episodes is what materials are out there for our kids, you know,
Totally, because our students might be functioning at a first grade level, but we're not going to give them, you know, those cartoony kind of stuff. So how to motivate them, how to make it relevant without being too, it has to be that perfect balance of too challenging, too easy, so they're motivated and not shutting down.
Absolutely. Exactly. And even if you have those kids who have those more challenging needs, you get into those functional and practical classes and going in there, maybe working as a larger group, you don't want to go in there working with your kindergarten, first grade books and working with language-based stuff because it's not good for the kids. They're going to be shined from it. And then you're just not going to feel good about what you're working with either. So it's trying to find that level of interest that's appropriate for high school, but at a lower readability and a lower connection for those kids. And so,
totally.
Absolutely.
Now, do you have that aha moment when you first started working with this population, this age group, where you're like, this is where I'm meant to be?
Absolutely. You know, the aha moment for me has been working, and this was years ago, working with the really high functioning students on the spectrum that challenge you. The ones that they're much smarter than us, they challenge us with everything in life, but then you come back at them to really help them out and meet the social emotional needs. You know, it's those kids that are the top of the class with the grades and you have them in maybe a small social group and then they always want to go first, so they'll get really upset with somebody else and don't know how to interact. And those, my aha moments are always working with those high functioning kids that have the social needs. I have, gosh, I'd say about a decade ago, I was working with a kid who was a junior, extremely intelligent young man. And at lunch, I have a lunch group and I had a Nintendo Wii, you know, in my classroom. So all the kids would come in.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, really cool. But what he would like to do before the other kids come in, we played this game, it's a Mario game called Super Smash Brothers Brawl. He would change all of the dynamics of the weapons and this and that, so his character would be stronger. Well, one lunch period, he was defeated, and he took my remote, and he broke it. These remotes are like, you know, $80. So, you know, I was telling him, in life, I understand your academics and performing high in there matters to you. I want to share with you, in order to be successful in a college dorm room, and successful with your peers post high school, and if you want to get a girlfriend who will eventually become your wife, we're going to have to work on this, man. And it's not going to be one time a week. Every day at lunch, we're working on this. So my aha moment was, I know how to work with that population really well. You know, but the thing is where do we get the materials and things like that? So we really had to repurpose other things. And it was never about searching for content within our field. You know, all of the books I read and all of the therapy companies out there never had what I needed. So it was really going out to other avenues, other websites, other books, and then repurposing it into speech. And so I've currently been doing that as well. And that's really what's been the shining moments for me.
That's awesome. And I'm sure everyone listening is wanting to know, how are you using the Wii in speech therapy?
Oh, excellent. Okay, so I use that.
Everyone listening is wondering. Like, do I need to be going? Do I need to be going out and buying a Wii? Is what everyone's wondering.
So I use it in multiple ways, but you can use. I mean, it's just all about the creativity part. That particular part, I had several students come in at lunch, and so what we would do is rather than having any student on campus at lunch sit by themselves, I made a pact to myself that I would not allow that to happen. And so the first week of school, even if it's a student that wasn't on my caseload, I would approach them and say, "Hey, you know what? I have a Nintendo Wii in my classroom. I'm fortunate too because I have the space to do it." Mm-hmm. But that was all about pitching it to the administration for that. But I would walk up to a kid and say, hey, you know, up in G303, I've got a Nintendo Wii. If you don't want to interact on that, I've got some books. I've got a Chromebook for you if you want to use it, if you want to just use your phone. But it's a nice place to come hang out with us. And that way I would be able to make sure that everybody had a place to go. There was no student left to be alone out there. So that was one way I used it in order to really tie in our whole campus as a community to make sure that, you know, there was not kids left alone. It was an easy pitch at the IEP meetings. I had to have the special ed advisor and the department chairs mentioning that, hey, you know, and this would be for our kids who had transitioned from eighth to ninth grade, that, you know, the parents have this major fear of that transition for their kids. And it was an easy pitch to say, you don't have to worry. They'll always have a place to go. And so that was fortunate. There's a lot of things, though, you know, that I've learned with video games that target a lot of our goals, you know, and it's just a matter of the way it's all semantics, you know, because a lot of these games are the most effective therapy strategies you can do, which is try to figure out where the kids' ability levels are. If a task is too difficult, then we bring it down, back down a little bit. And if it's a little too easy, then we go back up. And the video games do that. All of these games that these kids play, if the task is too difficult, it brings them back to the next level. Or if it's a little too easy, then they can advance. And so I would work on that, the comprehension and the following directions and the problem solving. And all of those things would tie right into speech. We could use it towards the last 5 minutes too. The nice thing about using video games when it was in a small group was to work on the social emotional part, the self-regulation, because there's a lot of emotional things that are involved with playing video games. You know, it really amps them up. So we would discuss that and we would talk about all of those social thinking concepts of preparing themselves to, okay, if you are going to get defeated by this guy over here, before you play the game and you get defeated, what is your response going to be? How are you going to react? So
that's
there's
so cool.
Multiple ways. Yeah, super cool.
And I'm sure the students were totally motivated and it's totally relevant. We're always looking at ways to make it functional to their everyday life. And this is something that's always around them. That's what their typical peers are doing and talking about.
This is absolutely true. This is their life. They live and die for these games. The games actually provide a social outlet for them. So if they're playing it at home, I never recommend it for too long, but it provides them an opportunity to have that whole friend file, shared interest, and talk about these games. What I tell the students, and this is the same thing that I tell the SLPs when we had transitioned from in-person therapy to online. And I came by this saying, I think it was on a blog post or maybe, I can't remember where it was, but it said, how you do anything is how you do everything. And that stuck with me because it basically talked about how you handle and manage any situation or challenge in your life is going to be the way you handle all of them. So for example, kids playing video games, if they're constantly getting upset and throwing the remote or yelling at somebody, then that behavior and how they handle it is how they handle getting an F on a math test. That behavior is how they handle not being able to go to Disneyland when it rains. So I teach that. It's the same way with SLPs. If we handle a situation going, oh my God, I have to learn technology and do teletherapy now, oh, and we have meltdowns, there's a high likelihood that we're having meltdowns and IEPs when there's an advocate. There's a high likelihood that if a lesson plan gets changed because of the behavior of a student. And I stuck with that, you know, and I teach the students that handle the situation appropriately. And that way you handle this situation is exactly how you'll begin to handle other situations. This is a lifelong thing and it's a lifelong goal that needs to stick. So
true. So true. And we really need to model it for our students as well. That's amazing. I love the analogy of how we're handling things. And it's a good transition because a lot of speech therapists are not in love with the idea of incorporating technology into their speech rooms.
Right.
And I know you do it often because it is motivating. How much would you say you incorporate before teletherapy and distance learning came into play? How much would you say you did incorporate technology into your speech room prior?
Okay, so let me give you a background on that too, which I briefly touched on it, but I'm going to get a little bit more into that topic. That's a great question. Every day, every session, technology became my thing. I always had my backups, but the way I got involved was years and years ago. I wasn't presenting at ASHA or our state convention, CASHA. I was going out and I was presenting at the teacher conferences and I was attending those because what I had learned was when you step out of your comfort zone and you dive into something a little different, you'll start to develop and grow more. And so I would start to go to educational conferences for teachers and learn that there was technology tools out there that related to speech. So I remember, gosh, was this like 7 years ago? There was, this ties into your most recent podcast too, or a recent podcast of yours. There was a company called Educannon that made taking passive learning and made it active learning by putting in questions. And then that got bought out by a company called PlayPosit. And then all of a sudden Edpuzzle came in. So it was just this rippling effect of how do we take these concepts of taking YouTube videos and then, you know, making it an active and engaging video versus I'm just watching through it and not having to hit pause and ask questions. We can make it interactive with the kids. And so I've learned these tools, but I didn't learn it from the world of speech. I learned it from the world of education. And that's where I continue to get a lot of my knowledge too, is that people say, well, where are you coming up with these ideas and this and that? I'm just putting my feet in a little bit of the different water, you know?
They tend to get there a little bit faster than us. It's okay. It's true.
They do. But we're catching up, aren't we?
We are, especially right now. So, and
your recent episodes too have been right on point. You've been nailing it with, you know, what's current and what's out there and what's available for our field. So I love it.
Yes, especially because when you work with the older students, they're motivated by technology. So why fight it?
Exactly.
We're not giving them grades. We have nothing else to hold over their head. They don't want a lollipop. They don't want a sticker. So let's bring in the technology. Let's bring in what they're motivated by.
That's the key. You know, we've got options to work with towards that intrinsic versus extrinsic motivation. And it's, you know, you're right. The difference of saying, hey, therapy today, what we're going to do is we're going to watch a couple clips from your favorite TV show. Maybe I'll screenshot a couple of the things from whatever it is. And we'll talk about the emotions and body language, but we're going to make it to where you're going to be engaged. You're going to have fun. You know, that's far more effective than saying, well, if you come to speech therapy at the end, I'm going to give you a butterfinger.
Exactly.
Or whatever it might be.
Especially when we're saying there are no resources for this age group that's appropriate. So why not take what they're motivated by and use it how we need to? Why not?
Absolutely. That's the thing too, is it's a matter of seeking out and finding what is available, or, you know, just getting with that concept of repurposing it. So if it's an idea or thought about somebody talking about something positive, like that relates to emotions, taking that and saying, you know what, that's a perfect thing that I can transition right into my therapy.
Totally.
And that's the key with, I think, with the world of older students, with the world of working with teenagers and adults, is having to be able to have that insight to say, you know what, this can totally work for my kids, and then making it to where they'll enjoy it.
Now, what would you say to someone that says, I don't have time to learn this new technology?
Well, there's available resources out there that have no preparation. You don't really have to spend a whole lot of time. The thing I would mention to them is that you want to go into the idea of saying, I'm going to spend a little bit of time to make a lifelong decision on the end result. If they don't have the time to do it, then what that tells me is that they're constantly trying to catch up to certain things and getting frustrated with being overloaded on things. And that's probably how the next several years are going to be, is just trying to catch up or juggle things. My thoughts are, if you just spend a very short amount of time, it'll make a long-term result. Mm-hmm. And that's the key. Just dabble in it a little bit, just test it a little bit and see where you go with it. You know, in turn, essentially, that's where our true meaning is going to be. If we feel like we're making an impact for the students rather than constantly feeling like we're bombarded with all these new tasks, I think that if we can be effective with what we do and make the kids happy, and it will come right back to us. You know, we'll be going home at the end of the day, or we'll be finishing our teletherapy sessions at the end of the day saying, you know what? I just saw my kids smiling and having fun. I don't know what it was, but it made me have fun. And that reciprocity between the two of us, I am ready to enjoy the rest of the night with my family.
It's so true.
Versus the alternative, yeah.
So true. We want to be able to shut it off at the end of the day.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, there is the mindset, you know, really of what we tell ourselves and will be the end result. So if we have the thought that is, I'm not ready to take on a new task, or I don't have the time to take on a new task, then that thought's going to become the feeling, and the feeling's going to be the reaction, right? Mm-hmm. And the reaction is going to be not making the attempts to jump on a webinar, jump to listen to a podcast and make the effort. And then if we don't do the effort, then what's the end result? We don't move forward. We don't progress. And then we go after the end of the day going, man, I'm so happy, you know, therapy session's over. I need 4 bottles of wine. You know? So it all kind of goes hand in hand with the way we frame it, the way our thoughts are, and the way that we go into it.
So, so true. That having that mindset, whether it's right now when we're transitioning to distance learning and teletherapy, or when we're back in the therapy room saying, okay, I'm going to try a different technique. I'm going to try a different website, and it might motivate those students in a different way, and using their motivation, their reaction to guide our motivation.
Right. Absolutely. The nice thing about it is if it doesn't work, then that's okay. At least you tried. That's what actually makes us stronger. For me, you know, I'm constantly trying to grind and find new things. And oftentimes these technology tools, sometimes, you know, they don't work. And it's like, well, now I'm going to have to reinvent that part of it, or I'm going to go back in and try it a different way. But that's what makes me stronger, is that I got to keep going for it. You got to keep attempting it until you get it right.
So true. And not being so down on yourself for not being the perfect session. Your students don't know it didn't go as planned.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And so, yeah, and they'll let you know.
So I would love to hear your, I would love to hear your impressions, your experience transitioning from seeing your students face-to-face to online learning now. What has been your overall opinion, experience, transition?
You know, it's, again, going back to what you had mentioned, which is right on point, is that it's that incentive that we're doing. It's that carrot dangling in the front, you know, of saying therapy now is going to be done through technology. I've seen it where the students are really clinging into it. I've had some success because it's something that they enjoy doing. Obviously, there's going to be that in-person thing that is lacking, such as meeting their friends at lunch and playing the Wii and being able to just come in as a social group to get, you know, give high fives and things like that. But the overall picture of how things are going from my experience so far is that I feel that they have had a good time doing it because they've had some tools that they've liked and they've had some fun interaction. And it's been that motivating experience for them to want to do it as well. You know, I think it is what it is, too, is that since they don't have really access to their peers in class, I feel like a lot of these students have felt isolated. Mm-hmm. They've been at home with their families and they're just kind of missing that human connection. And so, you know, I've made it a point that if I can't have a therapy session with the student, I'm at least going to record a Loom video where my face is in it, where it doesn't even have to be long. It's like a 20-minute, hey, you guys, what's up? It's Mr. Winger. I just want to check in with you and say hello. My weekend was great. I watched a new TV series on Netflix. Please leave a comment below. And then I would put that, you know, as you mentioned on a recent podcast with Google Classroom, I have them grouped and I would just go put that right on the streamline. So that way all the students that I have grouped in the class can see a video of me. And then I would at the very end say, I want you to leave one comment below of your favorite thing you did this week or one thing that you learned new. Or whatever it might be to keep them engaged.
Something. It's to see your face. Yes. And if everyone's not familiar, loom.com, it's a free site. You can record your screen. You could record your face or a combination of both. And it gives you a shareable link that you can post on Google Classroom or wherever you're posting. So it's a great tool to easily show your face. I use it sometimes just for directions for my students. Like, okay, this is the directions for the week. But instead of me just typing it out, because I know they can... they're reading like a first grade level. I'd rather them hear it. Let's work on the listening comprehension. So I'll record a video. If I don't want to be on face, I just show like a picture of, I'll show what they're doing. I'll show the video, show the website and record myself talking. And this way they hear me. And it's a familiar face, a familiar sound, and changes it up versus the just random text that we're giving them. So that's a great tool. Do you have other favorite tools that you're using right now to keep your students motivated and to see success?
So let's talk about this. I haven't really covered it a lot, but you know, some of the things that my students love. So I'm going to go from our average caseload. Let's bump it up to those ones that are really challenging, who are the kids that are, you know, they're mainstreamed or they're honors kids. And we're just going, well, I can't do a boom card with those kids, or I can't do, you know, teachers pay teachers stuff or whatever. We got to really hit it higher. I have been using things like Edpuzzle, but with commencement speeches or Grammy speeches or Oscar speeches, because what they'll do is they'll talk about something meaningful in life. So for example, like the commencement speech that Jim Carrey gave is amazing. I have a YouTube channel and it's got a playlist of, you know, motivational videos, inspirational videos. And of course it hits all the speech and language stuff, but on there, it's just tons of videos, and I'll take those videos and then I'll turn it into something to where we're working on that social emotional component. Kids love that. Because what the really high ones have struggled with is, well, the really high ones that have had success with is that they've done well academically, like mm-hmm. really well. You know, these are the top of their class, but the thing that they struggle with is learning how to relate with others, or what's the thought for the future and their plans, or anything like that. So that's what's been like really successful for me technology wise recently. I use a lot of TV shows with my students. So there's a show called Kidding. It's with Jim Carrey as well. As kind of like, it's really talking about how do we control our emotions? What's the perspective of the different characters? And then what I'll do is I'll record clips of that, you know, and I'll keep it private with my students on the clips that I record, but we'll just talk about those types of things. And so the tools that I'll use is Edpuzzle. Again, is always a good one. I create tons of interactive quizzes on a website called Quizzes. So mm-hmm. it's kind of like the alternative to Kahoot, mm-hmm. but it's a great website to use as well. Have you heard of that one?
I've heard of it. I've only used Kahoot myself personally, but I have heard of Quizzes, and I know my students and my colleagues, you know, the classroom teachers are using Quizzes. So
yeah, Quizzes is really cool. So quizizz.com is the website. Yesterday, I had a student, and it was actually, I saw it on Facebook too. You know, these kids love playing Call of Duty. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to jump on there. I'm going to quickly make a Call of Duty social quiz. And so when they get into session, it's like, hey, you know what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about Call of Duty. And they're like, what? What do you know about Call of Duty? And it's like, well, I got a quiz here for you. And then we can talk about the social components of playing video games and put in some Call of Duty, you know, screenshots. I love using that one as well.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's really cool.
And especially because you're preparing it ahead of time that you can make sure it's appropriate and not too gory or... Even though absolutely. They're still motivated by it, so who cares? Like, why not?
It's funny because I was in search of something to talk about controlling our emotions when we're playing games and we lose control. So I typed in on YouTube, I typed in getting angry when playing Call of Duty. I cannot tell you some of these kids and the way that they lose it. And so screen it, of course, but then I would copy the link, put it into Edpuzzle, and then right when the kid would lose it, you know, I'd ask a question. It would be an open-ended question saying, what could this kid have done prior to getting upset at the game? You know, or just we would really talk about things like that. It's highly motivating. Kids love it.
I can totally see them so motivated by it. Oh my goodness. My mind is spinning on how I can incorporate some of these ideas into my therapy session. And if people aren't familiar, I've done a podcast episode on Edpuzzle and this and that, but there is also a Chrome extension for Edpuzzle. So you can take any YouTube video, if you don't find it on Edpuzzle itself, and turn anything into an Edpuzzle. So it makes it so super easy to create those for your students if what you're looking for is not on the site itself. So highly recommend downloading that Chrome extension if you haven't already. So other than using, I want to hear more. I want to hear more, like share more. This is awesome.
Yeah, so you'll probably notice on my feed on Instagram, I have just a lot of motivational videos, or sometimes it might be the opposite. Then that's what I love about Instagram is they're so short and quick, 1 minute videos. But I'll take a motivational video and then that will become my therapy. So I'll show, you know, a student, I'll screen share mirror my phone to my MacBook. And then they'll watch the 1 minute video of what's going on. And then we can really talk about, you know, the gestalt part of it. You know, what's the overall idea that we just saw? Or I'll talk about, tell me what your thoughts are about this video. What would you change? Or what are your emotions? Or what are the characters' emotions? So YouTube has been really good. A couple of people that I follow that are really good about this too. There's a guy named, it's at Tanks Good News. I like it because it gets the kids away from all of the regular news. I mean, our media these days, Instagram and Facebook, is just all stuff that is wanting to show us because we're just inclined more to gravitate towards negativity. We want to know who's dying and how many people have died and what kind of things are happening across these, you know, but what really we want to do is find the effective good news channel. So that's one is at Tanks Good News.
And I'll include that in the show notes. That's awesome.
Okay, and there's another one on YouTube, and it's called Some Good News. So it's SGN. And it's the guy from The Office that plays Jim.
Yes.
His name in real life is John Krasinski.
Yes, so I've seen that on Facebook floating around.
Oh, my gosh. So you know what you can do on those? That's literally, so he'll have like a 15 to 20 minute, about every 5 days, video of what's going on in the world that's really good. So what I'll do on my phone is I'll watch it, and if there's clips that I really like, then what I'll do is I'll just screen record. You swipe up and you have your little option to push the circle button there and record your screen and turn that into a video. And so if you, you know, if it's not part of your control center, you can go into your settings, you can screen record. So I will take, you know, that's literally 20 lesson plans for me with one segment that that guy does.
So cool.
And so, yeah. So John Krasinski, it's funny too, cause you ask the kids, you'll say, hey, you know, this guy from The Office, Jim? They're like, no, that guy's Jack Ryan, isn't it? I'm oh yeah. That's how they know him. I know him as Jim from The Office, Pam and Jim. But
way to tell us our ages, right? You know.
Gosh, I know. I'm getting older. I'm just not growing up. So another one. Let's just we'll run through a couple of these things. There's another one that a guy that I follow. His name is Jay Shetty. He's starting to get tons of popularity this past year, and he's on Instagram. So if you just do @Jay and then the last name is spelled Shetty. His content is amazing, and it's all over the place, but every single thing that he talks about has some type of educational component or tool to make us better. Now, when it comes to our IEP goals for some of these kids who are, you know, really high up on the spectrum, who really just need that social component, this hits all of that stuff. I mean, if you really got those social and emotional learning goals, the self-regulation goals, you're working on the zones of regulation, or you're working on just whatever kind of goals you made up, this is the avenue that you would use. The guy also has a website, so jshetty.com, and he's got a video section on his website, and it's categorized. So he's got one categorized by motivation, another one by relationships, another one by, you know, education, all these types of things. And I tell you that that's just a light of inspiration. And really, that's where we need to hit the components for our students. If they have difficulties at home and they get to school and whatever happened at home has been frustrating them or whatnot, they're not going to focus with the same intention at school. And oftentimes those emotions play into the way that they react to other people, you know, whether it's bumping into somebody in the hall or if somebody says something to them in class. So I really try to boost that emotional component. And that's how I do it. I'll go to jshetty.com, show them some videos. The nice thing about it is that there's no explicit language. There's no foul language. There's nothing like that. It's been, honestly, it'll change your life as a speech pathologist. Wow. Too. You watch this stuff, like, you know what? I am ready to live my life as this SLP. I am ready to take on the world. So
that's awesome.
I just absolutely love that one. Yeah.
Have you heard of him? No, I haven't. I really haven't. I'm going to go check him out right after this.
I'm telling you, it's life changing. It's like, oh man, I love this.
And I'm loving that all of these ideas can easily be adapted and used right now during distance learning, whether you're doing teletherapy or you're just posting on Google Classroom or emailing your students, whatever ideas, or for next year when we're hopefully back into the classroom. These ideas can really be used whenever and wherever. And that's the best part about it, is really just taking what our students need and what is available to us and just using it and running with it. And that it's motivating enough for our students. So why not use it?
Absolutely. I completely agree.
I mean, I have to ask, because I've seen on Instagram, I know you've been sharing so many fun and different creative ideas and ways of using Zoom and virtual backgrounds. I have to ask you to share just some tips and tricks on how you've been using it for your virtual sessions. I have to ask.
It's all over the place. You know, it's like the IEP. So each kid that I work with is going to be individualized. And so let me give you a couple ideas. First off, when we have our Friday morning staff meetings, I am always in a tropical place. That always, it always gets the, you know, the other educators, because I work within a large high school. And so that's helpful, because they'll say, how the heck did you put yourself in a place like that? You know? And So it sparks conversation, and it helps me to help the teachers do it. So when they work with their kids, when I work with my kids too, it's all based on what I know that I've learned about them, you know, over the years. So I have kids that will have, this will be helpful too for your listeners right now. What you can do if you want to change your virtual background to really customize it, if you go to bit.ly, so it's B-I-T, you can put this in the show notes too.
Yes, I will.
So basically bit.ly /SLP Gold. I created just a ton of free websites that people can go to, but on the very bottom, I give instructions on how you change the pixels to fit the background, because you can't just go and type in Google and pull off any regular picture, because what you'll see is it'll become blurry, or it'll get really zoomed in and you won't get the whole picture. So what you have to do is you have to change the pixels on that. Another easy way to do that is you can take any photo you want, and based on what the pixelization is for Zoom, you can just drag it and drop it on this website. It's B-I-R-M-E philburmy.net. What that will do is that'll help you out if you're creating boom cards or you're creating quizzes, pictures. All it is it's a quick, free resizing images tool. And it's an amazing tool that will quickly do that. So that was what you want to do for the virtual background. Back to your question, though. Sorry, I digressed a little bit.
No, that's huge and helpful. Like, so how have you been utilizing it for your virtual sessions right now?
So I'll have kids. They're big time into Marvel and DC Comics. Knowing that, I'll put something in the background that'll relate to the Joker, like kind of the new one, or I'll put Batman or just anything like that. And right off the bat, they'll comment. And then I'll just run with it, you know, and then I'll say, well, you know, tell me your favorite part in the movie. Tell me, you know, and we can just really start off with a quick 5-minute intro just based on the background. So yeah, it's been really cool. So another really cool thing that I have done, and I got this idea from Selena Wright. She's speaking right from the heart, W-I-R-G-H-T. She's on Instagram. She starts putting props on. So not only does she have the background, but she'll have like a really cool hat that she'll put on herself and some glasses. And that will elicit conversation for these kids. I love that idea. So she took it one step further and was like, you know what? Rather than just using a virtual background, we use a virtual background and I'm going to have some props. And that's great for your younger population or possibly some of those kids who are going to be in the functional classes. And then you can build with some functional vocabulary just based on what you're wearing. Kind of really got to be goofy with it.
Hey, why not? And it covers up the crazy hairdos we have going on right now also. So why not, right?
Absolutely. My hair doesn't even fit in the Zoom meeting anymore. I try to record these Instagram posts and my hair is too long now.
I just say messy hair. I found so many messy hair, I don't care gifs. I'm like, it's just, that's just the way it is. It's fine.
That's so funny. You know, it's funny because our dialect is so funny too, because your accent and my accent are so different. Your New York accent, and mm-hmm. I got the most Southern California accent ever. I'm just like, what's up, dude? What's going on, bro? It's funny because my hairstyle just goes with Southern California. Well, the spikiness in the Zoom meetings is like, oh, here we go. Too funny.
So true. And it is just the way it is. If we can't laugh about it, we'll cry. So
Right. No, you got to make them fun. That's what our field, this field, we have been fortunate that we landed in the best field in the entire world. So you might as well make it fun because we're in it for the long run.
So true. And just to recap some of the awesome things that you shared today, to not be afraid to incorporate some technology and things that they're motivated by, because why not? They're motivated by it. And you can work on so many different goals and so many different levels. It's not just for a one type of student. All students can really benefit from it, from the social and emotional piece to the problem solving piece to the vocabulary piece, comprehension piece. Any goal, you can really truly incorporate technology and to not be afraid of trying new things. And if it doesn't work the first time, try it again, try something else. And there are so many tutorials and things out there to help really truly help us motivate our students. So thank you so much for coming on here today and sharing your awesome ideas and ways to inspire and motivate these older speech students who so many, including myself, struggle over time to keep motivating. Where can people find more about you?
So I'm highly active on Instagram. It's @speechdude. Just as it sounds, there's no space or anything. And then this coming week, my website's getting revamped. And so this, well, actually, speechdude.com will be good. I'm going to be updating that often. So the things that we talk about, or the things that we have discussed today on your show, such as some of those commencement speeches and some of those Grammy Award speeches that hit home with our kids, I will have all of those continuously being updated. So there will constantly be resources that are readily available that you won't have to do any preparation. You won't have to print any PDF files out or anything. And it'll just be just tons of fun stuff. But you know, that fun stuff, as we talked about, if we're having fun, they're having fun.
So
and then when you go home or you go sit down with your family, they're going to have fun.
They're not going to be hearing you complain, right?
They're not
so true.
Yeah,
so
what a
true.
Rough day it was.
So true. Thank you so much for sharing your awesome ideas and wisdom with everyone here on SLP Coffee Talk. Take care. Whoa, guys. Holy guacamole, right? Are your minds totally blown and are you totally excited to try out some of these ideas with your students now or in the future when we're maybe back in the classroom or who knows what the future might hold, right? So I hope you enjoyed this episode. Make sure you check out the show notes for all links and information that Chris shared today. And like I always end each episode with a joke, and this joke actually came from Chris and I had to use it. What do you call a male SLP at an ASHA convention? Lucky. Okay, so that one you might not be able to use with your students, but I bet you're cracking up wherever you're listening to this episode right now. So thank you again for tuning into another episode of SLP Coffee Talk. You guys rock. Thank you so much for keeping me motivated to record these episodes for you and to continue to inspire you each and every week with these quick bits of inspiration. Until next week, stay out of trouble. It is no secret that as SLPs, our focus is always on coming up with new and creative ways to engage our students while teaching them practical and meaningful skills so they can lead more productive, communicative lives. It's also no secret that reaching that goal consistently sometimes feels so out of reach. Being bogged down with paperwork, heavy caseloads, and unrealistic demands put on us by admin has our brains ready to explode, leaving us questioning our confidence, suffering from imposter syndrome, and being unsure of our place in a field that we love. That is why I decided to have a little fun and put together a free quiz that digs into the different SLP personalities we find in our amazing and challenging profession. This free 60-second quiz can help you discover which movie character best represents your SLP confidence, so you can begin to reclaim your time and banish overwhelm for all. No matter which result you get, each character embodies unique qualities that highlight the gifts and abilities you bring to your speech students each day. It also tackles the areas your character may need to work on in order to feel 100% confident as an SLP. Plus, I threw in some access to freebies for you. Who doesn't love freebies? So if you are tired of feeling negative, overwhelmed, devoid of confidence, or just want to have a little fun, take the quiz today. Head to speechtimefun.com/quiz. Thanks for tuning in for another episode of SLP Coffee Talk. You can find all of the links and information mentioned in this episode at www.speechtimefun.com. Don't forget to subscribe to the show so you don't miss any future episodes. While you are there, it would mean the world to me if you would take a few seconds and leave me an honest review. See you next week with another episode full of fun and inspiration from one SLP to another. Have fun, guys.